It's Monday night and time to talk football. Welcome to the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Now, here's your host, Chris Beckham.
Broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night. This is the High School Football Report, presented by our friends at Cass Birch Automotive. I'm Chris Beckham. Thanks for joining us on this Monday night. For the next hour, we're going to be talking about high school football in South Georgia in the middle of March, because it's just that big of a deal here in South Georgia. Great show planned for you tonight. Coming up a little bit later on, actually right after our first break, we'll be joined by the new coach of the Camden County Wildcats, Bob Spire, will be joining us. We'll talk about his reception there in the coastal city of St. Mary's, Georgia. Also, some of the plans that he has for the Baby Blue Wildcats coming up this fall, and more with Coach Spire, who took over that job here about a month ago, I guess, is when he was named the new head coach at Camden County. Also going to be talking about some possible changes that could be coming to the GISA, one in particular that we know is going to happen beginning this fall, but also moving forward past that, what some of these changes that we think are going to happen could mean for the GISA in years to come. And also tonight, it's record night. We're going to tell you who holds the South Georgia records and how they stack up statewide. But the South Georgia records across the chart, passing, touchdowns, receiving, rushing, defense, the whole nine yards. We'll tell you who right now of the teams we consider South Georgia teams are at the tops in each of those categories historically in the state of Georgia. I'm sure it's going to rekindle some memories and some names that you might not have heard in quite a while. So we'll do that coming up later on as well. Later on, we'll also have time for you to call in at 229-241-1059. And if you want to talk a little high school football on a Monday night, we would love for you to do just that. Also want to remind you, you can follow us on Twitter at HSF Report on Twitter, and also the High School Football Report on Facebook as well. We update a lot of recruiting information throughout the week, so you can check it all out there. And if you happen to miss part of tonight's show or want to hear the last couple of weeks as well, you can do so at our podcast, which is at .ostatoday.com/highschoolfootballreport, and simply go back and listen to anything that you may have missed. Appreciate you joining us once again on this Monday night. We'll take a quick break and come right back. Camden County Coach Bob Spire will be joining us right after this. Stay tuned. This is the High School Football Report, brought to you by Cass Birch Automotive, and we'll have more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
Back on the High School Football Report, presented by our friends at Cass Birch Automotive, as we broadcast live from the Citizens Community Bank Studio on this Monday night. Thanks to our great friends at Citizens Community Bank. Hey, listen, wherever you go, you're just a snapshot away from money in the bank. You can download the CCB on-the-go app today. Safe, easy banking experience, right at your fingertips. And of course, as they celebrate 90 years of service to all of our communities in South Georgia, they got a lot of exciting things happening, including the social media scavenger hunt. Find 90, get 90. For rules, clues, and details, you can search for hashtag CCB Find 90, Get 90, or hashtag CCB Turns 90. They got it on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram. You can start celebrating with those good folks today. All right, Camden County Head Coach Bob Spire, we hope to be joining us in just a little bit as we talk to him. And he said, man, I'm excited. He said we could do a whole 3 hours full of stuff. I got a lot of stuff going on in Camden County. We don't have 3 hours for the coach, but we do have a lot of time. And we hope to be joining or hope that he will be joining us momentarily. So we'll stay tuned and hope the coach will be able to give us a call in. But before we do that, we also are going to be talking a little bit of coaching news. Not a lot over the last week, but we do have a couple of notes of interest that we'll be passing along to you coming up, as well as some more recruiting information too. And this is a busy, busy time with recruits, the class of 2018, and some of the headliners get a lot of offers from a lot of different colleges right now. This is that time of year where that kind of thing is happening, and we're seeing a lot of South Georgia players getting a lot of attention from recruiters. We'll tell you what the latest has been over the last week there as well. But tonight we're going to talk records. In the state of Georgia, there are a lot of records held by a lot of South Georgia players. And the interesting thing, when you look at a lot of these records, they're held by guys who are not necessarily household names. In some instances, they are. But in many times, they're not household names. They're just guys who had fantastic high school careers. but maybe didn't go on to play college. Maybe they were just a tad short or whatever the case may be. But some did, again, go on to star in college. But tonight we're going to take a look at some of the records held. Now, what we have done is we have extrapolated from the state record book and kind of made it into our own South Georgia record book. Now, what constitutes South Georgia? Well, that may depend on where you're standing in the state of Georgia. If you're standing in downtown Atlanta on Peachtree, they may say, well, yeah, Macon is South Georgia. Macon is not South Georgia, as we know down here. Macon is Middle Georgia. So what we kind of consider South Georgia are the teams that we regularly cover on our Friday Night Football show, teams from right around this area, or possibly teams that are maybe a little farther off, but play in regions in this area. So I tell you, we're going to hold that thought. We're going to talk a little South Georgia records in just a little while in our next segment, because I think now we do have on the phone with us the new head coach of the Camden County Wildcats, Coach Bob Spire. Coach, you there?
Yes, sir, Chris.
Hey, great to hear from you, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
We're doing fantastic. Listen, we appreciate your time on this Monday night, and thanks for joining us on the High School Football Report. We're going to talk to you about several things, Coach, but first of all, just tell me a little bit about the reception that you've gotten there in Camden County. I know the folks I've talked to, there's a lot of excitement about what you're planning.
Shoot, man, we're undefeated. They haven't told me to the Gators yet because they haven't lost the ball game.
That's right. That's where everybody wants to be. Yeah.
That's right. The folks here are awesome. I mean, this obviously is a long-time, traditional, successful football program, and they want to be back on the big stage.
And, you know, and I remember you saying that whenever you took this job, is this was not you were not in job-hunting mode after the season, but when this – opportunity presented itself, going to a program that has had success, that has had state championships, that has had success at the highest level, an opportunity to take over a program like that just kind of proved to be too much.
Yeah, I tell you, I feel like I'm, once again, we're undefeated, but I feel like I've kind of struck gold in terms of, from a career standpoint, to have the opportunity to come down here. I loved it at North Gwinnett and wouldn't take one second that away from my life. But the juices are flowing pretty good. I'm pretty excited about this opportunity, no doubt.
Now, when we talk about the great success, you averaged 10 wins a year at North Gwinnett, and this was a program that had not ever seen any kind of success like that until you got there over your time span. Of course, you've won more than 250 games in your career up in Kentucky, now in Georgia. What's it like coming to Camden? Because, and everybody talked about when you were hired, well, Bob Spire's wide open, fast break offense, Camden County traditionally wing T. How tough is it to change that culture?
You know, I think that I think from a reception standpoint and an excitement standpoint, I think emotionally they're there. I think they want this change. I think that's the reason I am here. But the reality of the learning curve. People on the outside may not understand the reality as much as we on the inside do. Mm-hmm. I just hope they are patient enough to let the process, work its way. And the difficulty of the schedule that we have is going to mask some of the transition when we may be getting better and learning and improving. The schedule may mask some of that before it really gets over the hump. I kind of equate the situation here to playing in the SEC in football. And if you're in a program that's trying to rebuild, you may be getting a lot better, but it may not show up yet on the scoreboard just because the schedule won't allow it to show up mm-hmm. until you're really, really fully there. I hope it goes in the right stages. I don't really have a crystal ball. The sooner the better. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we want to win every game we can win. I think they're right for the change. I just hope they're right for the transitional process.
Yeah. And now, and before we get off the schedule and before I forget to ask you, I know last year there were some Florida teams on the schedule, and sometimes those don't pan out to the following year in the two-year scheduling cycle. What's your schedule going to look like, or do you have it all settled out?
Well, good Lord, I could choose to lose my mind over that. I think there's a lot of rumblings within those programs that they'd like to get out, but here they're holding their feet to the fire. Unless there is some viable legitimate option that is right for our kids and our program and right for the financial, side of it. I know Camden County, in good faith, went on three road trips to Florida and upheld their end of the bargain, and we would expect nothing less on the other end. If there were some option that worked for everybody, I don't think anybody's opposed to working with somebody, but I don't know what those options would be. I've been buried with hiring staff and getting the program up and running, and that's kind of Coach Coffey's been dealing with the schedule part.
Gotcha. Very good. So, it should remain Oak Leaf out of Orange Park, Florida, Venice out of Venice, Florida, Columbia Lake City. It looks like they will be coming to Camden County, unless something changes. We'll keep our eyes on that. Talk about hiring staff, Bob. Again, you've not jumped around a lot in your business. You've gone somewhere and stayed there for a while, so that's not something that you have had to do a lot of. Is that process near completion?
Yes, I feel really, really good about the leadership positions that we've now brought on board here. I kept a lot of the previous staff. I kind of went through a very patient process of interviewing each one of them, watching them work, going around and observing interactions with kids and how they handled settings, and got them on the, in the meeting room with me, and really kind of do my due diligence on evaluating the staff that was currently here. But all the leadership positions really have been changed to move the program, in the direction that I want it to move. Obviously, the head coach has changed, but I brought a new offensive coordinator in. I brought a new defense coordinator in. I brought a new special teams coordinator in. And I'm bringing a new strength coordinator in. So really the four key components, as well as the head coach, which makes five components in your leadership, in your staffing, have all changed.
Gotcha. Again, Bob Spire, the new head football coach at Camden County High School, joining us tonight. And coaches, you talk about that changing of philosophy. And, even though you were up in North Gwinnett, a lot of South Georgia teams played against you in the playoffs and in kickoff classics and things like that. So people are, I think, pretty familiar with your philosophy, which is, hey, play fast, play reckless, spread the field out. And I think when I talk about those things, if I were a high school football player, that would excite me. Hey, we're going to get up and down the field, and, if I'm going to play receiver, I'm going to be catching a bunch of balls, that kind of thing. Have you felt that excitement when you talk to your team?
Oh, no question. I mean, when we've got kids coming out that weren't in the program, and that's not a knock on anybody. Great people here.
Sure.
But I do think that today's game, it's what we do now is not like it was 11 years ago when I came to Georgia. I mean, we were really the first, came and did what we did. And then, Bruce Miller came and studied it and made him look like a genius with Deshaun Watson. The guy at Lee County came and studied us, people like that. Obviously, after I came, Kip Lindsey came. Then a couple of years later, Rush came. Kind of at that point, it got to be common. Pretty common fare in Georgia. 11 years ago, we probably won ball games against teams that we would, just because of what we were doing. And today, we try to stay ahead of the curve within it with all the RPO stuff, et cetera. But, I know these kids, they watch it on TV. They see what skilled athletes do. They see even the linemen getting to play out in space and out on screens and doing the things that they do. There's no question that's what they want to play.
And to do that, you've got to have great athletes, and that's something that we have seen over the years. Camden County has always had a supply of great athletes and guys who play at the next level, guys who play in the NFL, guys who play major college. There's always been great athletes there. When you look at your roster coming back in this fall, we looked at some. I know you did lose some guys, but where are the strengths of the team that you have returning?
Well, Chris, really and truly, I went to the spread in 1996. And I went to the spread in 1996 because we had a team that traditionally year in, year out, had lesser athletes than our other region opponents where I was located. And so actually the flip through, we were able to do more out of the spread and be more efficient with lesser athletes than we were with better athletes. Now, there's a lot of things that go into that, and once again, the game has changed and people have caught up to that. But that being said, Chris, right now, I'm still in the evaluation stage on the players, but we have a really young football team. And And they ended up playing a lot of those young guys last year as the season went on. But for the most part, it'll be a junior and sophomore team, it looks like. Just I know the nature of what we're playing against, just from a maturity, strength, physical standpoint. We're going to be playing uphill a lot. And I know that, you know, there's not a lot of big kids in the program right now. There's some things in the youth league, et cetera, that I've already gotten some changes made that I think will help there. But there's always, you know, there's always kind of things that add up to a perfect storm as to why they got to where they were. Mm-hmm. You know, little by little, we're going to get those things fixed.
We talk about the changes on offense, Coach. The changes on defense, will there be a huge change as far as formation or what package you're going to run out of?
Yeah, we won't be nearly as static as they've been. Hopefully we're not going to line up in the same place twice, and we're not going to, we're not going to be static at the second, third level. And, mm-hmm. A lot of movement, a lot of moving parts, a lot of, it's a philosophical thing. What we do is not just offensive, scheme wise. It's a philosophical thing. And I believe to give kids a chance, the best chance, you got to really, really trust that they can understand and learn the game and you can teach it. And so defensively, we want to be attacking from all areas. We want to be, rolling coverages, changing coverages. We want to be, flipping fronts. We want to be doing things where the offense doesn't have any advantage knowing where we're going to be and where we're coming from. I believe we attack on defense as much or more so than we do on offense.
Coach Bob Spire joining us tonight from Camden County High School. Coach, you know, years ago I used to host a show here in Valdosta with my great friend Hal Mummy, and of course Hal was known for his wide-open offense, kind of like you as well, and he said, you know, Chris, I got seven plays. I said, Coach, you don't have seven plays. No, I got seven plays. He said, now, when my quarterback goes up to the line, he's going to change this, this, and this, depending on what he sees. And it, so it becomes a lot of branches off those seven. But he said, it's really not as complicated as people think. And he said, you know, when you hear fast break and all this kind of stuff, people think it's, you know, I got a playbook 10 inches thick. He said, it's really just not that complicated. It's when you break it down, and that's the trick is, I guess, to get those guys to understand, hey, this isn't that complicated. Once you learn it, then you got to feel comfortable in it.
Well, the devil's in the details of just what Hal was alluding to was within each concept, each offensive play concept, understanding how to attack the strengths and weaknesses and where to go with the ball, when to go with the ball, mm-hmm. or where to tweak that call with a signal or a side adjustment on the route. I mean, to me, that's coaching on the fly, from the standpoint of one play could look differently if you snapped it five times in a row because the defense was giving you a different look. The quarterback made one adjustment, you know, based on what he saw pre-snap, et cetera. So, you know, what we do really is more like triple option football than people want to give it credit for being. And I was weaned as a triple option football coach. And then as a wing T guy, and I've applied all those philosophies to our offensive concepts. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, one call may have five different options going on at the same time. Now, that looks like a whole lot, and it's all in how you practice it and how you rehearse it, how well you prepare them for the looks they're going to see. But, you know, Mummy, Leach, all those guys. I got a chance to study all those guys. We were spreading it, and then a couple of years later, Mummy came to UK, and I was a mile from campus. I spent time with him and Mike Leach and Tony Franklin and Guy Morris and Chris Hatcher, and all those guys were there, mm-hmm. and Sonny Dykes, all those guys. And that just helped me enhance my understanding of what we were doing.
Hey, Coach, you hear so many coaches say it, and about you not. It's not just all those things you've talked about: getting guys to come out, getting more guys interested in the program, getting some excitement in the community, but also building that culture of winning. And that's kind of a vague term that gets thrown around a lot. But when you talk about that, and again, Camden County, this is not like you taking over a program that's going 0-10 for 15 straight years. I mean, they have had winners there in the fairly recent past, so they have done it. But when you talk about bringing your brand in and bringing all that culture of winning and getting the kids to buy into it, is that a tough thing to do no matter where you are?
Well, I think they've got to see it on your face. They've got to see it in your DNA. They've got to see that you're committed to them. They've got to see that you're committed to your system. They've got to see that you're committed to winning. Look, this is a slow burn process.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a flash. What winning in football is made in a crock pot. It's a slow, methodical process where you blend it together. And I know that sounds like a big cliche, but I really have no interest in coming out and playing one good game.
Mm-hmm.
This is all about a program.
Yeah.
A program is built over time. Look, we're in the same region. I saw, Rush, when he came to Colquitt, they didn't win right out of the chute.
That's right.
Then, I don't even know if he had a winning record his first couple of years. Probably didn't. I'm not really even sure.
Yeah.
But the system was being implemented. The process was being, was going on. And then you saw the fruits and the benefits from that slow burn process.
Yeah.
That's what we're interested in doing here. It's not a one night thing. This is an all in overtime process.
Finally, Coach, spring game, of course, the change in the Georgia High School Association this year. How are you guys going to approach that? Are you going to do one or not? Or are you going to play?
Yeah. My good buddy, Rich McCorder over at Charlton, they're going to come over. Rich was the first Georgia High School football coach I met when I moved to Georgia 11 years ago. I got on the plane to go speak at a clinic of champions in Purdue. We had been state champions that year. I get on the plane and I see two guys in coaching shirts. I knew they had to be high school coaches. I walk over to them on the plane and it's Rich and one of his coaches. We spent the weekend up at Purdue together. We both spoke at the clinic. We got to know each other really, really well. And so really the first guy I called when I took this job, I said, Rich, I'm coming down there. I went over that first week, visited him over at his house. So that was already set up. That had nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
They had already made arrangements to come over here. But we're going to go out and play football. We got a lot of work to do. Special teams here was bad last year. We got to get started with that right away. That's going to have to be part of our spring deal. You can't put that off on the back burner. You don't really have a program. So, I hired a new special teams coordinator from Buford. So you got him in that leadership position, and he'll do a great job heading that up.
Very good. And Rich is one of our all-time favorites and done a great job for a long time at Charlton County. And Camden County being bigger than Charlton, but they played some games in the past. Rich always brings a good product to the field, so that should be fun for Wildcat fans to watch.
He's a great ball coach. Great ball coach. Done a great job with that program.
And as are you, Coach. We're excited to see what's going on in Camden County. We'll be watching. And, again, it's going to be here not too long. I know you got a lot of work to do to get everything implemented, but I know you've been working hard to get it done, and we hope to be able to join you again sometime soon.
All right, Chris. Thank you.
Thank you. Bob Spire, the new head coach at Camden County High School. Again, they've got a long tradition of winning, a bad year last year. Obviously, everybody knows that, and we detailed that before. But this is a program that has won before, and it sounds like Bob Spire's trying to light that spark to get them going back in the right direction in the fall of 2017. We'll take a quick break. Now, interesting, Coach didn't even know he was leading into my segue, talking about state records in the state of Georgia. We're going to go over some of those, which include some Camden County Wildcats and some Charlton County Indians and a lot of other guys. We'll do that when we come back. Stay tuned. More of the High School Football Report as we broadcast live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. It's the High School Football Report brought to you by Cass Birch Automotive. We'll have more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
Once again, broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios, it's the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch. If you're looking for a fantastic deal right now, man, they've got going on in 2017. Go by and just take a look. Don't take my word for it. 2017 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab. That's a good-looking truck. You can get it. Fantastic values going on right now. Also, at Cass Birch, again, special intro on different purchases, all kind of deals going on. Hey, buy three tires, you get the fourth one for one single solitary dollar. Check it out online at CassBurch.com. You'll find great deals awaiting you today. All right, let's talk a little record book. As we mentioned before, we have kind of put together our own South Georgia high school football record book. Now, here's how this works. We went to the state record book. We took out all the South Georgia guys, and we're going to give you the top five in several different categories and a lot to go through. So when we and a lot of these records were set just in the past year, including the career passing yardage record. Like Houston County played in the, what I consider South Georgia region, Region 1, 6A, with Valdosta and Coffey and Lee County. Jake Fromm shattered that record book. He finished second in the state and 12,745 yards passing in his career. Number two on the South Georgia list, ninth overall, Fabian Walker from America's High School. Those great America's teams from back in the late 90s, early 2000s. Of course, Fabian came, after going to Florida State, came to Valdosta State, won a national championship with the Blazers as well. Cedric Johnson, third on the list, also from America's High School, played there in the early 2000s. Nick Marshall, fourth on that list from Wilcox County, of course, went on to great fame at Auburn University. And also Dwight Dasher. Now, there's a name that you may not remember. Played at Charlton County for Coach McWhorter back in the mid-2000s. Great player, 7,655 yards passing, 15th on the state list. He is fifth on the list here. Dwight Dasher, I believe, played for Middle Tennessee State after that. 6 through 10, I won't give you the totals. Jeremy Privett from Charlton County, Al Pinkins from Mitchell Baker, Zach Folsom from Cook High School, Johnny Taylor from Ware County, and another familiar name, Caleb Nobles from Fitzgerald High School. Of course, he went on to play at Valdosta State, finished up at West Florida. Passing yards in the season, Jake Fromm just owns this thing. He has got the first, second, and fifth best passing yardage seasons from a South Georgia player. Stetson Bennett, you talk about a guy that flew under the radar from Pierce County. Now, this was this year. He threw for 3,724 yards, eighth overall state history, third in South Georgia history. Stetson Bennett, because of his size, didn't really get recruited. He's going to be a preferred walk-on, they're going to call him, at the University of Georgia. And all he did was keep throwing it down the field and very successfully. Fourth on the South Georgia list, Jeremy Privett, another Charlton County quarterback, early 2000s from Coach McWhorter. Jeremy, I believe, ended up eventually playing at Valdosta State. They didn't play a whole lot here. Again, kind of a size guy, kind of a system quarterback. Other guys in the top 10, hey, Max Hughes, Coffey High School, again, last year put up phenomenal numbers. They were kind of paled in comparison because he was in the same region as Jake Fromm, but Max Hughes had a great year. He's sixth best passing season ever from a South Georgia quarterback, followed by Chase Parrish, Mikhail Grace from Wilcox County, Tyler Brown from Colquitt County, and Wesley Hill from Crisp County. Now, talking about passing yards in a game, this is one of those kind of things that's a little bit off the radar because his name doesn't appear anywhere else. But first in South Georgia, and first all-time in the state of Georgia, from Lee County High School, Justin Walker, on November the 4th, back in 2010, threw for 595 yards in one football game against Warner Robins High School. Justin had a pretty good career at Lee County, nothing like that. Went on to play quarterback at West Georgia. Didn't really play a lot again, just had one fantastic night. Who else is on the top five? That would be Jake Fromm and Jake Fromm and Jake Fromm and Jake Fromm. He is second through, what do we got, seventh. Jeremy Privett on there. Chase Parrish on that list as well. Let's turn over to the rushing the football. The all-time leading rusher in South Georgia history. We remember Robert Toomer well from Worth County High School. Played for Milt Miller over there in Sylvester. Played in 1988 through 91. 7,841 yards rushing. A lot of these other guys behind him, much smaller schools. Chris Clay. Randolph Clay High School, second in South Georgia history with 7,695. Chris Clay played in the mid-2000s, about 10 years ago, over at Randolph Clay High School. Went on to have a great junior college career at Hutchinson Junior College as well. Charles Grant, he's still playing in the NFL, I believe, as a defensive end. He was a running back at Miller County, third all-time in South Georgia, followed by, I think they were teammates for a year or two, Don Calloway, another guy from Miller County, fourth in South Georgia rushing history, 6,374 yards in his career. And then my man from over in Quitman, Chris Cole, led the Brooks County Trojans to a state championship. Chris Cole wasn't big as anything, but, man, he could tote the mail. 6,155 yards. He is fifth all-time in South Georgia history. Now, we talk about rushing yards in a game, and some of these numbers will blow you away. I mentioned Don Calloway from Miller County, first all-time in South Georgia against Lanier County in 1999. He carried it for 476 yards. Chris Clay, second on that list. Champ Bailey, third on the South Georgia list. against Atkinson County in 1995. He carried for 417, played a little defense there for Chalton County, NFL Hall of Famer to be. Sal McCalloway, fourth on that list, and from Appling County, Unray Solomon, back in 1991. Now, when we talk about records that stand the test of time, I think this is probably the most impressive record on the list. Receiving yards in a career. All these programs, as Coach Spire was just talking about, the game has changed. Everybody's throwing it around now. You get all these numbers. It'll blow you away. Jake Fromm's numbers and all that. Receiving yards in a career, not only in South Georgia, but for the state of Georgia. Stanford Rome, Valdosta High School, 1971 to 1973. 3 years, by the way, not 4 years. Nobody started as a freshman. Stan Rome, 4,477 yards, remains the best all-time receiver statistically in the state of Georgia. And that goes back 40-some-odd years. That's pretty doggone impressive. America's is Jermaine Allen, second on that list. Played in the early 2000s, again, back with those quarterbacks that I just mentioned that were throwing around like crazy back in the day. Cedric Johnson, Fabian Walker, and all those guys. He is second on that list with 4,343. Justin Williams from Chalton County, third on that list. He played in the mid-2000s over in Chalton County. Receiving yards in a season, Bug Howard. He just finished up his career at North Carolina, Wilcox County. He had the best single season receiving back in 2012 at Wilcox County High School, followed by John Harris from America, Stan Rome from Valdosta, Justin Williams from Chalton, and Jermaine Allen from America's. And you start to hear these same programs, America's, Chalton, Wilcox, some of these programs that have really thrown around a lot over the years. Another record that has stood the test of time, most receiving yards in one game. Gannon Hall, Tiff County High School, 1990 against Bainbridge. And I believe there's a safety back there named Kirby Smart trying to cover Gannon. Gannon caught for 271 yards in one single game on that November night back 27 years ago, 26 and a half. Again, I'm not trying to date you. Second on that list in South Georgia history, R.J. Merriweather, another Tiff County Blue Devil. Tiff County not known as a passing factory, but R.J. Merriweather against Colquitt County. It was their state championship season over in Moultrie. But Tiff County had a night. He caught 248 yards worth of balls that night. R.J. now playing over at Georgia Southern. Touchdown passes in a career again. Jake Fromm leading the way, followed by Nick Marshall, Jeremy Privett, Cedric Johnson, and Dwight Dasher. Now, and of course, touchdown passes in a season. We all know Kari Lane, the quarterback from Macon County, broke that record in the state championship game this past season with 56. So he leads the way again from South Georgia. Now, as we go to, again, touchdown rushing, touchdowns in a career, Robert Toomer, number one in South Georgia, followed by Charles Grant, Chris Clay, Debrell Smiley from Thomas County Central, a name you probably remember, and that's rushing touchdowns in a career. Let's see, other records we want to make sure that we mention. Let's don't forget the kickers, because some of these records are pretty outstanding. Most field goals in a career, number one in South Georgia, number one in the state of Georgia, Jake Bundrick, Cairo High School, 46 field goals in his career at Cairo High School. Jake Bundrick, a very interesting story, played in 1998 through 01 as a syrup maker. And you would think a guy who's up in the record books, most field goals in the state of history, would be getting offers from everywhere. Not really. Played a little junior college baseball. Got tired of that. Said, you know what I love? Music. Became a drummer in a punk rock band. That's what he's doing today. Charlie Edwards from Tiff County, second on that list, followed by Baby Lou Martinez from Colquitt County just a couple of years ago. Bundrick had 46, Charlie Edwards 41 at Tiff County. Luis Martinez, 34 at Colquitt County. John Welsh from Lowndes High School, fourth on that list with 26 field goals. Now, most field goals in the season, that was just said as well. Cole Phillips from Cairo had 20 this past year, set the record for South Georgia. Charlie Edwards set it twice in second place. He had 18 in 2005, maxed out with 18 more in 2006. Most field goals in a game, Zach Griffin from Ware County hit 5 back in 2010. That's the South Georgia record. Longest field goal in South Georgia history, also set just a couple of months ago. Cole Phillips from Cairo against Jefferson, and that was in the playoffs in late November. I think that was the Friday night, right after Thanksgiving, I believe, a 56-yarder, which broke his old record of 55 yards that he did 2 weeks earlier against Baldwin. So Cole Phillips holds that record from Cairo High School as well. Now let's talk about some of the team records as we look through and talk about, let's start with defense first. Points allowed in a season, There's a tie for first in South Georgia. And again, these records go, it's kind of the flip. The defensive records are all old teams, or teams from many, many years ago. So when you see one that's kind of a more recent one, it's even more impressive. The 1927 Albany Indians and the 1938 Valdosta Wildcats tied for first in South Georgia history. They gave up 6 points the whole season. That was it. I don't know if it was two field goals, probably a touchdown. They didn't keep many field goals back in 1927 and 1938. Tied for second, or I guess tied for third on the list, the 1928 Thomasville Bulldogs allowed 8 points, as did the 1975 America's High School Panthers, who gave up only 8 points. And then the 1924 Wildcats gave up only 10. Most shutouts in the season, America shut out 13 opponents in 1975, followed by the 1969 Valdosta Wildcats, who posted 11 shutouts. The 1937 Moultrie Packers had 10 shutouts. Turner County from 71 also had 10 shutouts. Now let's flip it and talk about offense. The top scoring season in the history of South Georgia football in Georgia, the 2015 state champion Colquitt County Packers, 700 points. The only South Georgia team ever to hit the 700 mark in points scored. That broke a record set by the 2014 Colquitt County Packers, who scored 697 points. Rush Probst has left his mark on that program. We just talked to Bob Spire, the Camden County Wildcats from 2011, 662 points in that season, followed by the 1997 Miller County Pirates and the 2008 Camden County Wildcats as well. And, of course, when we talk about wins of South Georgia teams, everybody knows where it begins and ends. That the winningest team in the history of American high school football, and, of course, the winningest team in Georgia and the winningest team in South Georgia, the Valdosta Wildcats, with 913 wins. The rest of your top 10 winning programs from South Georgia, Thomasville, number 2, with 698. Fitzgerald, number 3, with 644. Number 4, the Colquitt County Packers. Now, that's mixing in the old Moultrie Packers as well, at 641 wins. The Cairo High Syrup Makers are 5th with 635. 6 through 10 is Americus with 632. Tift County at 7th with 558. Albany High Indians at 509. And boy, everybody's been passing them because they haven't won much lately. Camden County 9th on that list with 496. And the Bainbridge Bearcats 10th on the South Georgia list with 478. So probably brought back some memories as we talk about state records, though. And a lot of these South Georgia guys are up there. Pass, I'll give you the big ones on the state level. Passing yards in a career, Deshaun Watson, 13,000. And 77 yards for the Gainesville Red Elephants back 2010 to 2013. The state's all-time leading rusher is Monte Williams from Commerce High School. And this one's going to be tough to catch. 8,848 yards. He is about a little over 1,000 yards between him and second place Robert Toomer. That's pretty strong. Receiving yards in a career. Again, I mentioned that goes to Stan Rome at Valdosta High School. So pretty impressive records for an impressive state. South Georgia certainly claims a lot of that themselves. We'll take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some possible changes that could be coming to the Georgia Independent School Association, including one that we know is going to be coming this fall. We'll tell you about that when we come back right after this, broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. This is the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive, and we'll have more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
All right, back on the High School Football Report. Boy, football season could be in March. Is the weather not fantastic for a little football? Cool mornings and beautiful afternoons like we've had today, but it'll be a little bit hotter when football season rolls around. Of course, spring football is coming up here in just a couple of months. Talked a lot about spring games. You heard there the Camden County Wildcats will be taking on Charlton County. Of course, we know Valdosta Lions will be playing each other. Some schools opt to skip a spring game or spring practice on the whole so they can play two scrimmages before the season. We're going to try to put together, we've got a partial list of spring games. We'll try to continue to work on that and put together an entire list by the time spring football rolls around. But that's going to be in a couple of months. Then we'll get right into summer work and 7-on-7s and those types of things, and then, of course, the season will begin in about 5 months, almost exactly 5 months, as a matter of fact, from today. And of course, we'll be back with the 14th season of the Football Friday Night Radio Show. Bryce Johnson, Megan Barwick, and myself each and every Friday night for 15 consecutive Friday nights starting, I believe, I don't have the calendar in front of me, August 19th, something like that, I believe is when it starts up. If that's a Friday, that's when we're starting, somewhere around there. Now, one change that we know that we're going to see coming up this fall is going to be a South Georgia program which has decided to leave the GISA, the Georgia Independent Schools Association, and join the GICAA. And that is Georgia Christian. They have made the decision to move to the GICAA, as that's the Georgia Independent Christian Athletic Association. They will begin that this fall. They're also searching for a new head football coach, and they will be, I'm sure, in the next couple of weeks or whenever, be making that announcement as well. And this is a big change. But it kind of goes to point to, and to be honest with you, I've already been asked about this a couple of times, what about their football schedule? Because those schedules for the fall have already been made out. And my answer to that is everybody, I'm sure, is going to be scrambling. Because if you've got Georgia Christian on your schedule, now you've got a hole in your schedule. And that would apply to Frederica, Tiferia, Robert Toombs, Bethlehem Temple, Windsor, First Presbyterian Christian, Fullington, Terrell Academy, Westwood, and Southwest Georgia Academy. So I'm sure there's a lot of phone calls being made to try to fill those holes. And there's a lot of reasons that Georgia Christian is doing this, you know, for and a lot of reasons that a lot of schools have done this. And they're certainly not the first. Crisp Academy moved down. Sherwood Christian over in Albany moved down. As I'm looking at the roster of schools in the Georgia Independent School Association, there are some from around here, Appling Christian and Baxley. Most of these schools that are members of this organization are from the Atlanta area or larger cities, Savannah, Columbus, Macon. But there are some. I mentioned Crisp Academy, Fullington Academy from Pinehurst, which was a longtime GISA member. Also moving down to the GICAA, of course, Sherwood Christian, as I mentioned. Nathaniel Green Academy is another one. So here's where I think we are kind of headed with this. And I'm going to do a little bit of crystal balling here and predicting the future. I think the GISA is pretty soon going to be facing some pretty serious questions if they're not already. We know that there have been schools that have moved from the GISA to the Georgia High School Association, and mainly around the Macon area. And there's been talk that, you know, in the next few years, maybe Valwood, maybe Deerfield, Windsor, some of them may make the move as well. Or schools may be headed down to the GICAA. If you're a very small school in the GISA, and sometimes, listen, it's tough. Basketball is not so bad because you only need, I mean, you need more than five, but you got to play five. But in football, not only in the number of students that you need, but the simple cost of equipment and everything else that goes into a football program, it's not cheap. Basketball, uniforms, gym, which just about everybody has, you know, a couple of basketballs, hey, we can go. Football's a lot more expensive. Other sports as well. Baseball, softball, these things are expensive. And for very small schools, it's always pretty tough. So now you go down to the GICAA, and again, you're still going to be playing these sports. You got to figure in travel, and I know there's a lot of thought that went into Georgia Christian's decision to move down to that level. But again, when you're playing, you know, teams that are schools that are much, much larger than you, with a lot bigger pool of players, it's like anything else. If you're in the Georgia High School Association and you're a single A team and you play five or six, you know, 5A, 6A teams, well, if a few of your guys get beat up and banged up and hurt, that's much tougher to replace. And especially at the private school level, because oftentimes you're starting centers, you're starting nose guard, you're starting wide receivers, you're starting safety and that kind of thing. So there's a lot that goes into this. I think the GISA over the next, let's say, 5 years or possibly longer, maybe not that long, I don't know, are going to be faced with the question, okay, do we go and maybe for travel purposes, maybe for financial purposes, do we go and join the GHSA or do we move down to the GICAA? And will the GISA continue to exist? Now, I think there's this misnomer that, well, if we move to the GHSA, we're simply not going to be that competitive. I think there are already private schools that have proven that that's simply not true. I think Valwood, which has about as good, I'll say Valwood and Deerfield, Brookwood as well, they've got about as good and competitive a program in the GISA as there is. State championships, region championships, the whole nine yards, not just in football, but in baseball and basketball and softball and soccer and volleyball and golf, tennis, everything else. They're always very competitive. I don't think that would change that much moving to the private school. I do think it will be tougher because you'd be playing some teams that are a little bit bigger and are a little bit more established maybe. But I don't think that success would necessarily go away simply by moving to the GHSA. Now, I think we've already seen kind of a precursor to this when just this year, or last year, I guess, the GHSA said, okay, we will now be able to play GISA schools. And you're mostly going to see that at the lower level. And, of course, we've talked about it with football. It's happening right now in basketball and baseball. I know Georgia Christian plays Eccles County. I know Tift Area playing Brooks County in baseball this year. We saw it some in basketball. I think there was one instance where we actually did see it in football where somebody had canceled. I think it was over in Miller County, and they picked up a GISA team. I think it might have been Deerfield-Windsor. And so we're already seeing it some. I think that may be a precursor to what we are going to see more of over the next few years. And again, in about 5 years or so, I'm just kind of putting a number on it. I don't know how long exactly it's going to take. I think you will see more and more teams move down to the GICAA, and those remaining GISA members are going to have to look around and say, do we have enough to play? Do we have enough to have a league? And if not, what do we do? And I'm sure that discussion has already happened to some degree at most of the GISA schools out there. It's going to be something to keep our eyes on. Final break. When we come back, we'll tell you about some coaching news around South Georgia and more right here as we broadcast live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. This is the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive, and we'll have more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
All right, wrapping it up on the High School Football Report as we broadcast live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. And again, thanks to our great friends at Cass Birch Automotive, stacking them deep and selling them cheap like they always do. Goodbye and check them out today. Again, follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, HSFF. Do that one more time. HSF Report on Twitter, the High School Football Report on Facebook. Anytime a kid gets an offer from South Georgia, we retweet it out. We broadcast it out. Just in the past week, Zacoby McLean, the big hitter from Valdosta High School, getting one from Coastal Carolina. Also, Andrew Johnson, the big defensive end from Tift County High School, got an offer from Tulane. Again, Jalen Goss just got an offer from Missouri over the past week. We broadcasted all those on our social media. We had one just today, I believe it was. Fitzgerald's Kieran Smith getting an offer from Mercer Bears. So check it out on Facebook. Don't miss a minute. It'll come right into your feed. You can keep up with all the recruiting news and other stuff going on in high school football as well. Wrap up with some coaching news. West Lawrence High School, which is over in Dublin, Stacy Nobles, this is a little bit interesting. Stacy Nobles leaving, and he just told us players apparently this morning, he was leaving that position at West Lawrence to become an assistant at Blackley County. Seems like it's moving backwards, but same thing we saw with Von Lassiter, the head coach at Houston County, who left that job to become the new head coach at Blackley County, a smaller school. It is Von Lassiter's hometown, so Stacy Nobles will be joining him as an assistant on that Blackley County staff. Also, Scott Roberts, a former coach at Swainsboro, has taken the job at Swainsboro, going back to where he once was. And also, Terrell Toomer was the defensive coordinator at McIntosh County Academy. He has been promoted to head coach. We've talked about in weeks past the weird situation at MCA. Played for a state championship, lost to Macon County in the single-A state championship this year. And then came the news about Robbie Robinson, the coach there, and some hazing with football players, and he was let go. He actually faces some charges for child cruelty. Just a messy situation. Terrell Toomer, who was the defensive coordinator there, has now been promoted to head coach, and so hopefully providing some normalcy for that staff there. And we're rounded out today with our South Georgia alumni update. As we know, it's not football season. We know it's college baseball season. But lo and behold, a familiar name, Seth Schumann, former Valdosta High quarterback who played some quarterback at Georgia Southern this year. Well, we all know he's a great baseball player as well. And the good folks in Statesboro realize that. Seth Schumann now 2-0 as a pitcher for the Georgia Southern Eagles. So smart on Georgia Southern for finding a space on the roster for that young man. He has appeared in 5 games. He has started 2 games for the Eagles, struck out 14 and walked 6. Sounds like the Seth Schumann we all know and remember. Continued good luck, young man. He's a good one and a good football player and pitcher as well. That's going to wrap it up for us. Again, you can check out our podcast. If you go to ValdostaToday.com, just go to radio, you'll see WVGA. Slide that over to bring up the High School Football Report. You can listen to tonight's show and our last 2 weeks' shows there as well. We thank our great friends at Citizens Community Bank with four locations around South Georgia and the fantastic folks at Cass Birch Automotive. We'll be here next Monday night, 6 o'clock. Tell your friends, and we'll see you next week on the High School Football Report. Have a great week.